Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 1 hour to go here this morning. We've talked a bunch of Astros and Texans this morning. If there's anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to get in. The Texans in the offensive line. Cam Robinson going down. Moving Ariante Ursary to left tackle. Titus Howard to right tackle. And bringing in Juice Scruggs. That's good news for Juice Scruggs because we've been talking about Juice. It's not great news for Blake Fisher. Not great news for Jared Patterson. Who else are we missing that they brought? Trent Brown. Not great news for him.
Have we heard his name once?
Not once. Not once. No. I don't know the Trent Brown. He's probably odd man out here.
Ed Ingram as well?
Huh?
Ed Ingram, yeah. Throw him in there. That odd man out thing as well.
Is Ed Ingram, is he still alive? Is he?
I don't know that he's dead. I feel like he didn't have a great year last year, but if he was dead.
It's never going to be a factor.
But if he was dead, I think we would have been alerted to that.
Trent Brown either.
Trent Brown is coming back from a patellar injury. They're going to just stash him for when they need him. He'll go on the PUP or IR or designated to return. That's all that will be. He's going to be an insurance policy.
Yeah. Looking at the first unofficial depth chart that the Texans have released, of course, with no Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, despite him running up the back of his own lineman to gain yards, he's the starter.
On his pads or
that's what I heard. Yes, D'Amico certainly was very effusive in his praise of Nick Chubb. He's the starter with Damian Pierce now activated as your backup. William Marks is a distant fourth there. Higgins is your starter, but the offensive line as it stands, no Trent Brown because he's unavailable. But it is Jared Patterson as the starter. So Jake Andrews has gotten a lot of first-team reps at center, but Jarrett Patterson is their starter currently.
Well, is he, though?
Well, according to the unofficial depth chart that they put out there.
Is he, though? If Jake Andrews is out there
I don't know.
The first team every day?
So the earlier, for 3 days, I think it might have been 3 days in a row, it was Jarrett Patterson who was out there with the first team. And then they flipped the last couple of days to Jake Andrews. As Lance, I think, said earlier, maybe last week or even yesterday, those two guys are going to be getting reps, and they'll figure it out likely during preseason football and their practices against whoever they're practicing against this in the upcoming weeks. Because they have a couple joint practices, I think, coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all that is.
So they'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't even know that. It probably doesn't matter who starts even on Saturday night.
I don't think it does.
No.
I don't think it does. Like I said, if the Texans end up going with a player with one career start who didn't even play football last year and who's got 70 total offensive snaps in 2 years, if he's the starter at center, now remember, he was a New England guy. So I'm trying to remember if Cole Popovich was there when they drafted him, because actually Nick was over here when New England drafted him. So Nick wasn't even over here. But looking at Cole Popovich's timeline to see if he had, he wasn't here. He hasn't been in New England since 2020. So yeah, even though he's a New England guy, there's really no direct ties. There's no direct ties from the Houston Texans coaching wise or front office wise, other than, he was signed and was on, you know, was with the New England Patriots. But those guys, but this is why you do all the work on, like, they had their own scouting report on, the Texans had their own scouting report on Jake Andrews. So they go back to that. They go back to that intel and information. Yeah. They go back and search that, and they say, okay, we liked him. We thought he, you know, we had a six-round grade on him or whatever the case may be. And that's what they do. So even if he hasn't played much football, they obviously, the Texans obviously liked him coming out. It is interesting, though, that guys like Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson, who have game experience, even in playoffs, are right now potentially behind a guy with one career start and 70 snaps to his name over 2 years. And when I say 2 years, one of them he didn't even play because he was hurt. So that's a really interesting situation in here in Houston. It really lets you know that literally probably three of the jobs are wide open. Well, the left, well, I don't, man, maybe not, maybe not. Maybe just center and right guard. No. Maybe maybe right tackle and center were the only ones that were actually really open. If Cam Robinson was already, they may have signed Cam Robinson 100% with the idea that he's our starter. But he got hurt yesterday in practice, so we're waiting to hear more about what's going on with Cam Robinson.
Well, and it's a little concerning with the Blake Fisher thing because, you know, you know what? You want to get a rookie as many reps at one position, you know, so he gets comfortable, more and more comfortable. Now you're moving him over to the left side, which is even harder. And he's got a, you know, there's, it's different. It's different. So he's got a, and then you're moving your guard to tackle as opposed to just sticking Blake Fisher over there for a practice. They're moving guys around. So that's a little concerning when you're talking about the depth that they have.
Although your guard moving a tackle is actually a tackle who has moved a guard.
Right,
I mean, it's still the guy who plays right tackle. And you get Juice, your second round in there, so you should be good. Was Juice a second or third?
Juice was,
I think he was a second.
Was Juice a second too?
He was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Wow. He's a lot of draft capital on the offensive line. Lot of draft capital.
Well, do I have to play the sounder again?
No, we know. We're not supposed to work.
They're not concerned.
You seem not to take the hint.
Yeah.
Not even a hint. A directive. Hey, stop worrying about this.
Directive.
We're not concerned, so you shouldn't be either.
Yeah,
what a directive.
This is now, I would say, you guys do 12 segments a day. We combine some because you guys can't shut up. But let's say on average you do about 11 segments a day. So that's, let's say, 22 segments in the first 2 days, but we haven't even gotten to the final out, finished the final hour. So about 19 segments. You've devoted about four of them to the offensive line in the first 2 days.
Not concerned.
Listen to the man. Why are we devoting so much time to this group? They're going to be fine. They're coming together. Every time I turn around, someone's being solidified.
Concerned. Just so you know, not concerned.
So, thank you.
You know, we have not talked about yet the guy who threw the original
Bilbo?
Green Bilbo, as we call it. Well. He was identified, arrested, and charged with multiple charges.
Yeah.
His July 29th rubber green sex toy was hailed onto the court in the middle of a play between Golden State Valkyries and Atlanta Dream. His name is Delbert.
Bilbo.
It's a pretty dope name.
How about that? Delbert. Del, was that you?
Where was this game again?
Delbert Carver.
I'm trying to figure out what city I was in on that day.
Delbert Olaleya.
No, I'm here, not in cuffs, so it wasn't me.
It wasn't him. It wasn't him.
We don't know if you were arraigned, and we don't know. You don't know.
I'm telling you. No, I do know. I'm telling you right now. It wasn't me. In fact, this is probably public record, so you can look it up if you want, and you'll know it's not me.
Well, Garver might be your alias.
Does it make sense to y'all that
what?
I don't know.
He spent a night in jail and was released on bond. He faces counts of disorderly conduct, public indecency, indecent exposure, criminal trespass.
Indecent exposure? What did he expose?
Well, it's a sex toy.
But that's what that classifies as?
It's public indecency / indecent exposure.
Oh, it's either
I think it's
one or the other.
It probably, that's what it was. I should have said that. It just falls under the same. They're going to make a... they're gonna go pretty hard at him. I mean, it's probably gonna be a fine or whatever, but they're gonna go pretty hard at him because they don't want this. We already have one copycat. The other person has not been identified, and actually, in the article I read through ESPN, ESPN reached out, and the Chicago police said we don't have an action call for that. Basically, no one called to take action about that one. So no one's getting arrested on that one, I guess.
I watched a lot of TV, too many crime shows, but when you said copycat, it just immediately made me think of conversations about serial killers. Oh, we've got a copycat.
But we did.
We had a copycat.
Not a copycat. Yeah.
Are we sure it's a copycat?
It was green, too.
Are we sure, or is it a serial Bilbo thrower?
Or is it a sleeper cell with just green Bilbos running around like... This is somebody who's taking credit. Who is it that when you have an act and then they take credit for it, or they?
They take credit for the.
We are the group that is taking credit for this.
Well, listen, this
either
shut
your
so
league
big,
down, or we will continue to throw these objects on the court.
This thing has gotten so big it has reached the White House.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, did you? Okay, I put the video, the audio in, and the video. Okay. Here, yesterday at the White House, RFK is standing up there at the podium, president, vice president, everybody is standing up there, and this is the topic of conversation by I don't know why this is a health issue. I don't know. I don't know how this is a health issue, but here is RFK breaking down the Bilbo situation in the WNBA.
It's a circus in a war zone. I never thought I'd have to address this, but these overgrown behemoth women are just trying to airball free throws and blow layups in peace. The
Why
WNBA
are you
was
using
never
an
meant
AI?
To be the UFC, okay? The Sisterhood of Traveling Elbows has been gunning for Caitlin Clark for far too long,
and now AI, the league. Never mind.
Well, you didn't know
of course.
That?
You didn't listen to it.
No. I saw it. It was the behemoth thing. I was like, "Yeah, this isn't real." Immediately, this morning when I saw that,
they got me.
He got God again.
Got God by AI again. These are easy. He would never say that stuff.
Behemoth.
The first six seconds.
I don't know that he wouldn't say that stuff.
The first 6 seconds.
I think Trump would say it before he would.
Yeah, he might. That's harder to. But RFK is not going to. The traveling sisterhood.
I mean, I watched it.
Elbows.
I can't even. You can't even play any more videos anymore because they're all.
Well, that one was an obvious one.
Not to me.
He called them behemoths.
I know.
He's not going to say that.
I know. Dell, I didn't.
You played
think
that
he
on
would.
The air, Dell. That's on you, actually, Dell.
No, it's not.
You didn't test it. You didn't check it.
I didn't check
it. You check it for bad words.
I
you
did.
Didn't check it.
And I didn't hear any bad word. I assumed RFK would not curse, and John was like, "Hey, let's get to this." I was like, "All right, John, let's play it." Sometimes you just gotta let someone burn their hand.
I love that. I love that. AI, keep it up.
No, don't keep it up.
Yeah.
Now we got government officials calling WNBA players behemoths.
Behemoth.
No, don't keep it up.
I like that. Couldn't happen in the White House.
I guess. I mean, the problem is there is a way where that could happen.
Yes. Yes.
They did pick an individual.
To me, that was very believable.
Yeah, but at some point, you're leaning too much into the bit. He can't. Everything he says cannot be the worst thing that RFK could say about the situation.
Well, I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. Okay, I'll say it. I didn't know. I thought for sure. I was like, "Wow, this is awesome. We got to play this on the show." All right, what we got to talk about right now, as opposed to that, is Collector's Firearms. Collector's Firearms is awesome. Also awesome. I don't care if you don't have to be a gun enthusiast to go there. How about a history buff? If you're a history buff, you go there. Because they've got all these artifacts. They've got all of these different collectibles from all the wars, from Revolutionary to Civil to World War I, II, to, you know, recent wars, whatever it is. Look at how it has changed throughout the years. But if you are somebody, you just want to go see a tank, go. Westheimer and Voss. There's a tank right out front, okay? I mean, a real live tank. I don't know if it's live. I don't know if it's usable. But I do know that if you are somebody that looking for a gun, now, they've got all these old collectible guns, but they've got new. They've got pre-owned guns. You can sell your gun there. You can buy your gun there. You can buy a pre-owned gun. You can buy a new gun. The selection is incredible. It is the biggest store, the biggest gun shop in the world. And it's the best damn gun shop in the world. And that's, I don't even know that that's arguable. So if you're looking for a gun, and even if you're an avid gun collector or a newbie, it doesn't matter. CollectorsFirearms.com, Westheimer at Voss, CollectorsFirearms.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
Just quick. So the guy arrested, his name is Delbert McCarver. He's from, I guess, the Atlanta area, Georgia, somewhere in Georgia. I would say Delbert, if there was going to be a state where somebody would get arrested for something, Delbert would I would say Georgia would be one of the favorites to have a Delbert. He's a definitely an – if a Delbert gets arrested for something and you ask him, like he could say Roll Tide, he could say Go Dogs, he could say –
I don't know, it sounds more like a nerd to me.
Delbert?
Yeah, Delbert.
Delbert McCarver, that's Southern. That's a Southern name right there. Delbert McCarver is coming from the South.
Where was it thrown?
In Atlanta.
It was in Atlanta?
Right, yeah. So, Georgia. The state of Georgia. That sounds like where a Delbert could come from. Delbert's country.
Yeah, I guess so.
Delbert. There was a Delbert who played for the Washington Redskins way back in the day. And this Delbert, I can't remember his name. He was from Texas, actually. Maybe even from Lamar Consolidated, but... Yeah, I just, when I hear Delbert, I thought, okay, it's Georgia, Mississippi, or Alabama.
Sorry, you're doing this thing, and I'm being very distracted by this video of Jaden Daniels taking his mother on a full shopping day at Neiman Marcus. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, if you did not know who each person was, it looks pretty much like a younger man taking an older woman out on a date.
Mm. Kind of like we had that scenario here in Houston with our two guard.
Sure, we did have that happen. Yes, and they have a wonderful child and a wonderful family. But I don't know. I'm a little bothered by the video.
It's getting to be a little much. I had somebody tell me, somebody from NFL Network said, "Boy, it is a weird ass dynamic between those two." It is mom, but this was going on when he won the Heisman Trophy. Remember that she went kind of viral for her attitude with Jaden Daniels' dad.
Huh?
Remember that? The dad was there also, and the mom was like, if I remember correctly, she was not that excited about him being there.
It may just be the edit, but it's set up like, oh, the younger guy's taking the older woman out on the town. I don't know what's going on. I don't know any other quarterbacks' moms, to be honest with you. Do you know?
No. Well, CJ Stroud's mom.
But it's not to this level.
No.
And we only know that because he's here.
No.
In this town. I don't know Bo Nix's mom. I know his dad because he was a former player and a coach. Who else? Do you know who Jackson Dart's mom is? We know who Zach Wilson's mom is for other reasons.
Zach Wilson's mom.
Yeah. I don't know Jackson Dart's parents.
Do we know? Are they that visible?
Not that I can think of.
It's David. The most visible parents for quarterbacks, David Carr's parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dad, not mom.
Yeah, dad. The dad, because he was at practice all the time.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, Kyler Murray's dad.
But I don't know what Kyler Murray's dad looks like. I couldn't recognize him if he was just walking
about. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's mom?
Even still, she's not...
She's his agent.
Photographed.
She's a huge part of
it. I understand that, but once again, that's another woman I would not recognize if she was standing next to
Mark. Yeah, no, that's true.
Would you know what she looks like?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I think other than Zach Wilson's mom for that other reason, I think this may be the most visible mom in pro sports beyond Kevin Durant's mom. Kevin Durant's mom is very visible too. But
I cannot think of – I've never seen Aaron Rodgers' mom. I don't think. She's estranged, so yeah. Probably.
Yeah, probably not.
Caleb Williams' mom?
I remember that
she's
because
made an appearance.
He cried up there.
Yeah, but if
but she's not a visible person. She's not all around.
Especially once you make it to the pros.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, I take it, other than in the stands.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You could say it in the stands, but his mom's showing up on NFL Network interviews, shopping sprees. Like, it's wild. Juju Watkins,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that went viral. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. She may have to let him spread his wings and be a grown. I know he's your little boy, but you got to let him grow up.
I understand not wanting him to have a Shannon Sharpe situation, get caught up in anything. So I get that part of it. Mm-hmm. I just can't remember a time.
Well, did he put that video out, or did somebody follow him around?
Well, they weren't. Well, they had someone follow them around. It wasn't like TMZ. It's all produced and edited, so they did it themselves. It's part of some package.
How he wants to have his mom out there like that.
Well, it's showing him treating her well, which is fine. It's a Neiman Marcus shopping spree. They have dinner, all this stuff.
This is getting it's too much, dude. Girl, let him grow up. My goodness.
It's just very, I mean, just watch it. I mean,
it's weird.
It's odd.
Weird.
It's an odd thing. Because, you know, like, Ashton Gentry is, like, shopping for a home. We know, I think it's for his mom. We see athletes do this all the time where that home's probably too expensive for his rookie deal. But either way, athletes will buy their parents' homes. That's understood. That's when you see them in these heartwarming moments where, hey, I got my mom a house. She took care of me for all this time. Now it's time for me to give back. Got it. This is another thing altogether.
Yeah. Ashton Gentry is assuming he's having a big second contract. I saw 12 and a half, and I also saw $15 million house.
Ooh. You're a running back, bro.
Yeah.
You can't be getting wide receiver houses.
Not as a rookie.
You need to be getting running back
houses.
Not as
a rookie. But if I'm a bank, I'm like, yep, come on. No. And you know how much of that paycheck is going to that
we
payment?
We got to get some running back. We got to get running back houses. We can't do
Man,
this.
That's just a poor, poor decision.
Yeah, we can't do Ashton. This. We got to get running back houses.
All right, let's get Jeff in Clear Lake in here. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. Good.
Hey, first of all, I want to just real quick to Dell. You still owe me for the hot dog and beer on Tuesday night in Atlanta. So I just want to throw that out there.
That was you, Dell.
That was not me.
You threw it.
And it's a lie. Anyway. You know it's not true because he mentioned beer.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. You should have said Big Red or anyways. Mr. Pibb.
Maybe it was a Big Red.
I don't think Mr. Pibb's
even alive anymore. I caught a little bit of last night's show with the Killer Bees. I wanted to get your opinion on with Tunsil with the false starts. Aren't you in the huddle when this all begins? I mean, don't you know where to line up, where these people line up in a neutral zone, and don't you know when the snap count is? I don't understand why there's so much false starts, but there's so many people lining up and you're looking down at the ball. I don't understand how hard that can be. I mean, I understand you're nervous in the situations, but you're in the huddle. I mean, there's no reason, you know, you're going on red 7 or Hollywood 8, whatever you're going to go on, you know this. Why are you still offside all the time?
He's trying to get a quick start so that he's not beaten to the outside. And it's actually pretty selfish because he's jumping the gun on his quarterback trying to make sure that he doesn't get beat. And he's costing his team 5 yards how many times a year. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make sure that he's not getting beat to the outside.
Yeah, I understand. It's just, I mean, it's just, you're in the huddle. You understand what's going to happen. You know what I mean? I definitely selfish, but it shouldn't be happening.
Right.
No, well, it shouldn't be happening.
It's
split
second, though. It is split second. It's not like, you know, he just doesn't know he's too dumb or something like that. It's not that. It's actually just I'm trying to anticipate my quarterback and beat that defensive end.
Yeah, so it's not, yeah, it's, you know, I can understand if you're on edge. And you're on edge because, and you know, you see movement. Even if you know what the snap count is, you see movement, and boy, you're reacting to that movement. But if that movement draws you into, you know, a position of false start, it's typically going to be on the defense. If they simulate or if they move into the neutral zone causing you to move, you're not. He's moving. Like his are selfish because he's like, I'm just not going to get beat. I don't care if we get a 5-yard penalty. I'm going to keep trying to guess snap count. He knows snap count. He's trying to time it up is what he is trying to do. And that consistent 5-yard penalty has been across every year with the Texans. 2 years he led the league in it. It's just not good. I mean, it's he knows the snap count. That's the whole point, though, Jeff. He shouldn't be jumping because he does know the snap count. But like John said, it's a selfish act where you just say, "I don't care. I'm going to keep trying to guess it because I want to get the jump on this pass rusher." He's good enough as a pass pro that he doesn't have to do that. That's not a guy who gets beat to the edge a lot. So. It always bothered me. Did you guys see the new rules in defense? My offensive line group from the Joe Moore Award, we were talking about it. They're offensive linemen, and they think this is kind of – they're not even big fans of this, and it actually impacts the defense. So in the defense now, to prevent confusion and deception with some of the late movements, simulated movements the defensive linemen are doing, trying to get offensive linemen to jump, because they don't do it in a neutral zone. It's a difference between a stem, which is a late movement, and then simulating a slant. They're two different things. The NCAA is now going to start penalizing defenses for that if the offense moves.
By shifting the defensive line late in the snap count?
If they determine that it's not a late stem, that it's actually a simulation, because defenses –
like
defensive
Georgia
linemen,
does this quite a bit.
Yeah, where they simulate moving like they're slanting into the gap. They're simulating it to get the offensive line to move.
And we saw that called a couple of times last year.
Yeah.
It was actually called last year on the defense because they were shifting late. And it's actually a move that is trying to, get the offense to jump. But, I mean, the defense is supposed to be able to move, and especially laterally. If they jump, forward, that's one thing, and into the neutral zone. But now, apparently now, they're not going to be even able to shift left or right. That's crazy.
You also have injury timeouts. But I mean, also injuries are being looked at, where they are trying to get rid of the fake injuries. They are looking at, that has obviously a negative impact on the game. So that is going – they're still working on what they're going to do with that one, but that's being talked about. Let's see. No offensive player can be in the direct line of the snap to the potential kicker or within the frame of the snapper on punts. I don't even know what that
– was that to make it more difficult to fake a punt?
I guess. They're changing timeouts for – overtime where they're taking – you can only have one – you're not going to get a timeout for each allotted time, overtime period. You just get one for all your overtimes. That's it.
So with that punting thing, does that remove like the three guys lined up in front of the punter, that different formation that they have?
I don't know if that's what it does. So here's the exact wording. No offensive player can be in the direct line of the snap to the potential kicker or within the frame of the snapper on punts. Like, I don't know why you would want to do that, but punts for the formation to qualify as a scrimmage kick formation. If a team is not in scrimmage kick formation, they must have five players numbered 50 through 79 on the line of scrimmage. I have no idea what – something obviously happened that necessitated coaches to complain. Somebody complained about something. I don't get that one. Yeah. I don't really see what that one really means.
All right, we got a break. We got to figure out what we missed. So if I already know one, what we missed, we got to get to on the other side right here on ESPN 975 and 925. Right now, though, we're talking about the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Love me some Golden Nugget. Love me some Golden Nugget. And listen, it's real because Vegas is expensive. It's expensive to get to. So I don't know if you are planning on – or you know what? Here's the deal with Golden Nugget Lake Charles is on a whim. Hey – and we've done this before. Hey, let's go run to the Nugget. It's so easy. 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, especially if it's a little bit later. You don't have to worry about I-10 being packed and whatnot. It's so easy to get to. You can stay overnight. You could do a one-day trip. Go in the morning, come back that night. That's not a big deal. That's easy to do. You do that with football games or whatever, just get on over to the Golden Nugget. Have your fantasy draft there. What a great way to have your fantasy draft. All your boys, you can bring wives. Pool, golf, casino. I mean, it just doesn't get any better for a fantasy draft. you can still go online, goldennuggetlc.com, and find where the packages they have available for that. But if you're just looking for a good time, so much easier, so much more convenient. Same, it's a Vegas-style casino and hotel. I'm telling you, Golden Nugget Lake Charles is perfect. GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did we miss so far in the show? Well, what about the college football rankings? We haven't talked about that. Texas number one. Ohio. This is the preseason coaches poll. Texas and Ohio State meeting week one. They're 1-2. Week one in Columbus. Arch's first big test. I mean, he started a few games last year, but not against anybody of this ilk. So you got Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, Miami, number 10. Anybody that doesn't belong or should be higher?
The Notre Dame thing is interesting because of uncertainty at quarterback. If Ohio State's up there, and they're in that same spot, too.
Yeah,
and they've lost a lot of players, period. This is more reputational and program tradition. They reload. They've got quarterback questions. Notre Dame has them. For Ohio State, at least you have an early home game against Texas. And you can say Arch Manning has to answer some questions, too. Notre Dame has to go on the road week one to Miami. They're going to get a real test at quarterback. I'm interested to see how they do replacing – who's the guy who they nearly killed on the first drive against Ohio State? Who was their quarterback last year? Riley Leonard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who nearly got murdered and was never the same after that drive when they scored that touchdown. They have Carr as a potential a Lloyd Carr, I think, grandson as a potential quarterback option there. So for a team who has national title aspirations, they're inexperienced there. I'm focused on that.
Well,
see,
Texas has experience, a little experience.
He's played,
Penn State
but yeah,
has experience. Georgia doesn't really have experience.
Gunnar Stockton came in late in the season, but not a lot.
Not a lot
of experience either.
Clemson has it with Klubnik. Oregon doesn't have it. Alabama doesn't have it. LSU has
it. Yeah, it's a list. Look, it's a list full of teams who are supremely talented, but their rosters may have to elevate the quarterback.
How the hell is Illinois?
Well, they were good last year.
What were they last year?
I think they finished 9-3, maybe
10-3.
10-3.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, they were in the top 25 for mostly the entire
year.
They're
number 12 this year in the coaches poll that I'm looking at. I mean, holy crap, they're ahead of South Carolina, who to be fair, lost a lot of people, but they have starting quarterback back. Sam Leavitt at Arizona State. I think Arizona State's going to be a potential factor even without Cam Scadabo, because they got some good wide receivers, they got a quarterback, and they're spending some money to get some guys in the portal. Ole Miss is always going to be a factor. SMU's got money. They're going to be a factor this year.
Michigan,
I like Florida at 17, but that's, you know, I mean, every year with Billy Napier, you keep expecting something more than they actually provide. Texas Tech. Can Texas Tech buy themselves into relevance in terms of being a college football playoff? This is a lot of people are looking at this one. Because what you're basically saying is we got a billionaire and he's just going to try to buy a whole roster. Buy a roster full of guys, buy a recruiting class. If this doesn't work, we'll see how long he's willing to keep financing and funding, especially if those guys don't play well.
Does he have Phil Knight pockets?
No, Knight pockets are endless.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Knight pockets continue to, you know, this guy sold his business. Phil Knight's business keeps rolling.
So, yeah, Oregon had a tradition before Phil Knight really started throwing money in there. The Rich Brooks teams were pretty good. But Phil Knight took it to another level. So you can buy yourself into consistent relevance. Now, it helps that you were just the brand Nike, and that helped Oregon before NIL became a thing. But he has been throwing money into that school in other ways for a very long time. That's why I asked the question. So, yeah, you can buy your way, particularly in the Big 12.
Yeah, but it's got to be
Oregon's
sustained.
Oregon's different than Tech.
I know, but, yeah, the question is, can Tech use this as a jumping
Oregon's
off point?
Oregon's interesting because they get a Polynesian community, so they have the Pacific Rim Polynesian players.
But can
players.
Tech take advantage of the state
pull
of Texas?
California. That's going to be interesting because it's a source, like it's a huge, you're fishing in a huge ocean, but at the same time, you got a lot of fishermen there.
Yeah, Oregon doesn't have a natural recruiting advantage. You have to entice them with, hey, you want to play for the Ducks and uniforms, and when Chip Kelly's there, speed, speed, speed. Tech at least has a natural, you want to call it this, a natural resource of talent in their own state that they can recruit from. Of course, they got to beat out Texas and A&M and LSU and everyone else.
And Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's a lot of more challengers as opposed to what Oregon deals with in Oregon, but you can do it.
So the Athletic said, who's underrated? Clemson, especially in the ACC with an experienced quarterback who's thought to be pretty good in Klubnik. We'll see. Illinois is underrated, they say, at 12. And
they're underrated, Illinois. Yeah, they've got a good quarterback, too.
16 starters back with Luke Altmaier. Kansas State with Avery Johnson, they're underrated. Who's overrated? Ohio State. Returns only six starters, 14 players selected in the draft. Number 21, Texas A&M, perpetually sneak into the preseason top 25.
Did you see the video of Marcel Reed thrown against Dare?
No.
Now, without you saying anything else, it sounds like it's not very good.
It's not good.
Like someone, I think it was Carter, I forgot his name. He covers A&M for one of the recruiting sites, whatever.
You better to delete that post.
He filmed. He just said, hey, this is Marcel Reed throwing deep balls against air. Woof. Woof. He overthrew them. He underthrew them. He hit maybe two guys in stride. It was tough. That's not his forte. At least we've seen him play, and he's a pretty good player. But that was not encouraging.
No.
Maybe he's a gamer. We'll give him that. He's not a practice player. He's a gamer.
And he didn't do much against Texas. He was really good against LSU. We'll always have that.
Yep. And he got the number 14 Michigan overrated. Overrated because of the losses that they've had.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when everyone said Dabo Swinney was done. College football in 2020, college football had passed him by. Now, to be fair, he's changed how he handles transfer portal stuff. But Dabo portal was done. NIL. No one was ever going to sign with him and blah, blah, blah. And last I checked, they were a factor last year, and they're a factor again this year. I mean, there was just a little hiccup in there, about two, maybe 3 years.
And last year was trending that way. I mean, they lost to South Carolina at home. They made the ACC championship because Miami blew it against Syracuse. They're on their way for another one of those not good enough for Clemson years. And then they got into the ACC championship game because Miami blew it. They held off SMU, and then, of course, they didn't really challenge Texas, but they didn't get blown out in that game.
It is funny how things change with how the narratives change quickly based on a week.
Yeah.
Based on 2 weeks.
Clemson
really
was
change.
Out of the ACC, and they're losing to their rival as well. They're going to go 9-3. That's not good enough at Clemson. And then you have Cristobal doing what Cristobal does. You wind up winning another ACC title. And same old Clemson in a week. That changed.
Yep. And as far as basketball goes, the NCAA tournament will not expand in 2026, but look out 2027. anything? Oh, we haven't even mentioned the MLB Speedway Classic. It was a mess.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff going on.
It was fire fest for baseball.
Yeah, although they had a bunch of people watching and the game, I guess.
Oh, it was packed. They set an attendance record.
Unlike the Fyre Fest.
Yeah, but they set an attendance record, but as far as concessions and getting in and out, and it was a mess.
Yeah,
I did not know how to handle that.
I saw at one point they were just serving the hot dog and no buns. They ran out of buns. So someone just had a hot dog wrapped in tinfoil because we ran out of buns. Water was scarce and beer was scarce pretty quickly, and of course it rained all over everyone as well.
I mean, yeah, it's just what a miserable
experience. They had to play the game the next day.
What, 80, 90,000 people just yeah. drenched and no food and drink. Man, nice. Well done, sir.
There is one.
Bryce Harper almost punched you in the face.
there is one bit of Shedeur Sanders news that we haven't covered that I think deserves some coverage. He Deion Sanders told Michael Irvin that Shedeur Sanders told him not to visit him at training camp because of the limited reps he has received in practice. Deion went to see his other son, Shiloh, at Tampa Bay training camp. I don't want him coming to see me right now because I want to get to where I want to go. Then for him to see me, Shedeur said. I don't want him to come and see me, get a couple reps, and he's cheering like a good dad, like, nah, you can't be proud of me right now. I got to get to where I'm going, and I know it's a lot I got to do to get there. I'm going to tell you what, man. I think he's been humbled. You're in a bubble. Your dad's been your coach the whole time. He's telling you you're the greatest thing ever. You had success at Jacksonville State, bad first year at Colorado, expected first year at Colorado, very good second year, thought you were going to be a first-round pick, you fell. There's a lot of humbling stuff that went in there, but I think a lot of it was just, you know, he made mistakes, his dad made mistakes. But I love the way Shador's handling all this. Once he got into camp, he was doing things the right way. And there's a microscope on him about, is he going to be an entitled this or that? To be honest, he's been terrific. Like, yeah. And I haven't talked to people in Cleveland, so I don't know. But from the outside looking in, he said all the right things. This is a great example of what to say. He also probably, hopefully knows, and I think Deion has this, understands this too. As soon as he goes to Cleveland, it's immediately, oh, here we go. Here we go. Deion angling for Stefanski's job. Oh, here, daddy's got to be there for Shedeur. Shedeur doesn't need that, and he doesn't want it to. And honestly, Shedeur didn't say this, and he didn't even sound like he meant it this way, but the way I look at it, you don't want that distraction of Deion there. You don't even need that because – and you don't want Andrew Berry or Stefanski kind of subconsciously, you know – having it bother them at all. I think it's very smart. He said, it's kind of like, I just want everything that I'm doing is just focus on that time. And I don't want no distractions because we know how the media, we know how everyone would take it and take away from the team just from him being my own dad showing up. So it is a gift and a curse at the same time. I think that's accurate. And I think he shows good self-awareness there. And I think he's growing up and having an understanding that there's, you know, the life outside of the Colorado bubble he was in and the Deion Sanders primetime bubble, it's a lot different. And you don't know that until you're out of it. And I think he's learned it. And I think he's doing a great job of saying what he needs to say and hopefully, you know, doing what he needs to do. Also, remember, he went through a lot with his dad, had bladder cancer. So I'm sure that weighed really heavily on his mind as well this entire time, knowing, you know, what it could mean for his father. So I give the kid a lot of credit. I think, you know, he came out maybe a little full of himself, but I think he understands what it means to be a pro now, and we'll see if he can continue doing what he's supposed to do to actually, you know, work his way into playing time.
Yeah, he had a tired arm. He had to sit one practice. Pickett's been hurt. I think, well, the depth chart came out, and it's Joe Flacco's number one, and Shedeur's fourth. So
not really a surprise. NFL people knew that this was going to be Flacco followed by Pickett more than likely.
Dylan Gabriel's been terrible.
Has he really?
Yeah, he's been terrible. So I don't know how he's third.
But. Yeah, there was one practice. Someone said a tweet that it may have been the worst practice for a quarterback he's ever seen.
Yeah.
Right. He was like 3 for 14 against the number one unit. 3 for 14, a pick. And the videos, like, they're allowed to film every rep. It was bad. I don't know if that's what's gone on throughout, but that one was disgusting.
Yep, yep. All right, we got a break. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brokers are better. Now, you don't normally say that. Okay, like if you're buying tickets, you don't want a broker because a broker is going to add on his fee and blah, 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 and take money. But in the mortgage game, brokers are better. Okay, 3 out of 10 people do it right. 7 out of 10 do it wrong. I did it wrong. I didn't know about brokers. I didn't know about Kent Jones. Kent Jones has done over 1,400 mortgages. And how many is he doing for our listeners now? It is incredible the thousands and thousands and thousands tens of thousands, that he is saving our people. And he does all of the stuff. When you walk in, if you never bought a house before, you walk in and you need you got the insurance, you got the title company, all right? You've got the agents that you got to deal with. You got the lender that you got to deal with. The bank that you got to, all of these things that you got to do. Well, Kent Jones does it all. He connects you with the best wholesalers. He connects you with the best insurance, the survey, the title company, all of these things that you have to do. Well, Kent Jones will do that for you, and Kent Jones will save you money. He has saved ESPN listeners thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. So this is the way to go. If you're buying a house or even looking to, go. You know what? You can contact him and tell him, listen, can you lock us or tell us when there's a good rate so that we can decide whether or not we want to lock in? Yes, he'll do that as well. He's been doing this for over 30 years. He's the best. Kent Jones is the man. If you're looking for that mortgage, all you need to do, 975loans.com. That's 975loans.com. Or you can give him a call, 713-520-5626. Tell him you heard it here.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. J. Ken Jones, NMLS number 356-118, Equal Housing Lender.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, we have brought different words to this show that I was unaware of. Like soaking, I didn't know what that was, and I found out what it was. Do you guys know what scrumping is?
No idea.
Scrumping?
Yeah. Scrumping.
God, that sounds familiar. Scrumping.
Yeah.
No.
Well, okay, you don't know. It's a name coined by Dartmouth University and University of St. Andrews in Scotland for the fondness of apes, that the fondness apes have for eating ripe fruit from the forest floor.
Okay, no, I'd never heard this term.
So it's important for this reason. It's because it's actually a reason why we are able to. It's fermented fruit. It's why we are able to handle alcohol as well as we are as human beings, because apes scrumped, and now we can handle fermented alcohol a much better because of that.
You sure?
So thank you, apes. Apes are the reason that I can drink as many Coors Lights as I drink.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that's where it came from, but I got you.
Yeah. Apparently, a woman with a wild bat in her mouth was hit with crippling medical bills. So she had to go to the hospital because she had a wild bat in her mouth.
Yeah. The medical bills went over $100,000.
Right. So should she have to pay because a bat flew into her mouth?
Yeah, pay up. Give me that $100,000. Lose your house. Sell your house. Sorry, I had bat
sell
flew in
your house because a bat?
Yeah, we're probably
flew into your face.
Our society, we probably aren't doing it great in this country. If a bat flies in your mouth, and now you have to sell your house.
Yeah.
Huh? Bad luck. Bat flew in your mouth. Sell your house. This doctor's got to get a new boat.
Yeah, he needs a new boat. Well, do you have a... Well...
No, hello. I don't. And God forbid a thank bat you fly into my mouth, because I'll just take the death.
A Chicago woman was billed more than $233,000 for water that she never used in a vacant home with no plumbing.
Yeah. Oh, we caught a water bill a couple months ago. I was like, what now?
I caught a water bill of $700 last month, and what? I haven't lived in the house for how long?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one that is close to 500. Now, I do have a bunch of boys who are taking extended showers now.
Well, it's a little suspect,
but not that much.
There's stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
We call Billy in to clean out them pipes.
I don't want to talk about it.
And finally tonight, a woman died. It's not funny. Near a Brazilian restaurant. With 26 iPhones glued to her body.
What?
She had 26 iPhones glued to her body, and she had a heart attack. Whether or not the iPhones contributed to her heart attack is unknown.
It sounds like she had some things going on anyway.
Yeah, well, she was a mule, an iPhone mule.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. She was smuggling iPhones. And it is unknown whether or not the smuggling had anything to do with causing her to have the heart attack. But neither here nor there, those iPhones did not arrive. Did not arrive. Do you feel bad for the main smuggler or no? The boss of the smugglers?
Oh, no. Do you mean the one who's like, I didn't get my shipment?
Yeah.
No.
Where's the shipment? Well, she had a heart attack and died. Well, she wasn't very good at it either.
Usually,
she wasn't
hear about,
a very good mule, just like
usually
you
mules
be.
Have mules have the, you know, like the heroin or whatever will, the balloon will break in their body and they overdose.
Yeah.
This is one I hadn't. This is a different way for the mule to die.
Yep, absolutely. So, Dell, are you happy we're taking up your show?
Sorry, I wasn't listening to anything you guys are doing. Are we done?
We've been done. Don't worry, it's 10:04.
Yeah, we're done. Beat it. Mopey and Mapes next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about ProDunk. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com is the way to go if you're looking for the best goal in the history of goals. And that's not even arguable. I had one. It is the best goal. The kids love it because you can raise and lower the goal. We had it back in the day where you had to crank it, right? You had a crank on there, and you could crank, run up and down, and the kids loved it because you could lower the goal, and they could dunk when they were smaller. Dad, they're too small to reach a 10-foot goal. Dad, a 10-foot goal from the box store sucks. You put sand in the base, and it wiggles, and no one cares. No one wants to play on that goal. Dad, the best goal in the history of goals with the installation, tempered glass backboard, you raise and lower it now with the push of a button, is the Pro Dunk goal. Go to the Pro Dunk website and see all the kids dunking. Your kids want to dunk, Dad, okay? They're too young. They're too little. They can't dunk on a 10-foot goal. Let them dunk. You can bring it down to 5 feet or six or seven, whatever it is, whatever it takes, and you get those kids out there, and they'll be playing. They'll love the goal. You'll love it, too, because the kids are out there actually outside playing. ProDunk.com. It's the best goal, period. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5. Bye, bitch.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.